Welcome to It's No Secret, a podcast for Kiwis who want their money questions answered.
Ready, steady, go.
This podcast will answer the money questions you may or may not have on your mind. We'll talk to real Kiwis and share truths about our own financial lives.
Both the successes and the failures. Because the truth is, there is no secret to achieving financial freedom.
Hello and welcome to It's No Secret. I'm Christine.
And I'm Kat.
And today on the podcast, we will be chatting about how you can crush your 2024 money goals or how you can set new intentions. We are almost at February now, actually, a week out, the time where goals typically start to drop off. So if you've already set your goals and are starting to fall off already or haven't gotten around to it yet, this episode is for you. Now, we thought that we would start by talking about why having goals are important.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Well, I'll hit you with some facts first.
Okay, sure.
We obviously have a little bit of an inside lens in the fact that we work at Kernel. So Kernel has this amazing goals feature in the platform.
True.
And so we can see what people are setting their goals around, which is a great place to start. So. Yeah. I wanted to open the conversation around general investing as their top goal. So we've seen repeatedly through investor surveys and through the data on the platform that Kiwis are setting a goal as general investing, but that isn't really – it's not smart.
It's not specific. It's not measurable.
Let's throw that to high school.
What's happening about our goal? That's too generic.
Yeah, exactly. So, but what does that even mean? What does it mean to set a goal for, like, general investing?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think it says a lot. It doesn't. No.
No. And so I guess the key takeaway is that you need to give your money a purpose, firstly, but also that needs to be a lot more specific and so that you can be held accountable to that.
Can I ask a question on that? Why do you feel like it needs to be specific? That's not a trick question. I feel like that tone really made it sound like a trick question.
I was like, I'm sure.
You know, like if you're thinking about your own, like why does it need to be specific?
Because I think that's when it moves from being an idea to a reality, or it becomes more real when you're like, okay, let's say I want to take this holiday. You know, there's an idea of, oh, maybe next year I'll go away for a month or whatever. But when you actually sit down and work out how much that's going to cost, then you're like, oh, no, I can't save that much by next time. You either have to pull a lever, right, of time or like the amount that you're going to spend.
True. Which then I guess now that you said that and you were like, oh, I want to do this next year, it's not that achievable. Do you think that's why maybe people just go with general investing? Because general investing feels achievable.
Yeah, it's less stressful because you're like, oh, well, then I don't have to actually meet it. And what if I don't meet it? And
exactly. Yeah. And how do I really know if I'm on my way to success because I've very loosely defined success?
Exactly. Yeah, so it's like really the fear of failure that underpins it because you don't want to set yourself up for failure, really.
Yeah, exactly. Like what if, you know, using your holiday example, you were like told all your friends that you're going overseas next year for a month, but then you sort of did nothing about it and you just generally, I don't know, maybe like started saving a little bit of money, but you've told all these people. When the year comes around, they'll be like, hi, Christine, are you going to Greece next month? And you're like, whereas, you know, if you're like, oh, I've just got a goal to generally be an investor, it's hard for someone to interrogate how much of a general investor and how good you are and, like, are you on track with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and put actions around it. But I guess that's also why, like, that's a huge selling point for why people have financial advisors, right? It's the accountability piece.
And get them to specify because it's the accountability, but then also someone literally on your shoulder being like, yes, hi, general investing is too vague. What are you actually talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you want a certain amount of money? Do you want to do a certain thing? Do you want to live a type of lifestyle? Like, what specific thing are you working towards?
That's a good point, actually, because travel could mean three different levels of that. Like, are you doing hostels or are you
Are you
going
on cruise?
Full bore?
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What's
your
vibe?
Taking this route to get there or that one?
Exactly.
Boat, train, plane.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you feel like people would just look at this and be like, oh, I just don't really need to set a goal though. Like I'll just move forward with good intention. Because I know
Keep on.
You love intentions. So tell me, can I just have good intentions?
I mean, there's a part of me that's like, I do this all the time, but I think I do that because I'm lazy. Or
Could you have an example?
Well, travel.
Okay.
It's
you're not being specific with your travel goals.
No,
you're just being like,
oh. I'm literally a case study for this at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm saving X amount per fortnight towards my travel, future travel.
What's your X amount?
Well, I don't, of my paycheck.
Well, that you're saving. Yeah. On a fortnight.
So we're doing, or I'm personally doing, 1,000 a fortnight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? So, that feels like a lot.
It is a lot, plus KiwiSaver.
But for travel?
Oh, well.
This is
where you dig in.
I was like, what? $1,000 a fortnight? What's this holiday going on? Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not here to judge, but I'm like, this feels like a good holiday. Yeah, when is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, great starting priming question there.
Yeah. I love that. I'm just digging in. All of a sudden, we're in a hole.
I mean, this worked out really well. If you're listening and you haven't listened to our recent podcast, that is, what should I lock in my losses?
Just you'll me be interrogating honest. You.
Yeah.
Okay, so saving a fortnightly amount for holidays.
Yes, so this is the point that I've just started putting aside my money into a savings account because I don't really know what I'm working towards, but I know that I want to travel. Mm-hmm. And so.
Right.
Yeah.
So you probably won't need $1,000 a fortnight for travel, but right now you're just like, well, I'm saving this money and at some point I will go on a holiday.
Yeah. And I don't want to put like a portion of that money into investments because I'm like, well, but what if I need it?
Okay, so follow-up question. Let's fast forward like 6 months and you have quite a bit of money saved in that account. Yep. And then you're like, oh my God, I want to go to New York and it's going to be like $20,000.
Yeah.
Or Ollie's like, why don't we just go camping for the weekend?
Yeah.
How do you then decide? And how do you avoid feeling guilty about whatever choice you make?
Well, if he said, should we go camping for the weekend? I'd be like, I need another month to save for it because it's not coming out of this budget.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea, honestly. I don't know how to answer that question.
You know, because I think part of it as well that people sort of they shy away from getting around the specifics of the goal setting because they think that then they have to be held accountable. But then if you play out what happens on the other end of that thought process or decision making process, like if you haven't set yourself permission around what you can use that money for, when you go to use that money for something, knowing you personally, I'm like, you're probably going to have a bit of an internal battle around like, oh my God, mate, I don't know if I am giving myself permission to spend all of this money on a holiday, or like, was some of it sort of meant for something else? I don't really know because it was all just meant to be put aside for savings. And now I'm just like stressing out.
Yeah, this literally happened over Christmas. And feeling bad
about booking a holiday.
Yeah, this happened over Christmas where I was like, okay, I know that my savings are going towards some sort of future travel goal or whatever, but the expenses over Christmas were just too high. So I ended up taking out money of my savings or like the amount that I was saving. And then I'm like,
normal behavior over Christmas, summertime.
But now I'm sitting here like, oh, I've just put myself back like 2 months. Like, why
from this unknown holiday that you don't know where you're going and you don't know how much it'll cost.
Pretty much.
Can you recognize that that's very illogical?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said the humor in the situation.
Yeah. And this is why I need this podcast just as much as everyone listening.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a second question, which is, so why have you not set any more specific goals or ideas around that pot of money? And how did you, and if you haven't done that, like how did you decide on how much you were setting aside a fortnight?
Because I've just done a percentage of my income.
Okay. Where so that's I'm like, easy.
This feels great. Good and cool. I should be able to.
Well, that's a nice,
I've like
easy
guilted
one.
Myself into saving more.
Okay.
Yep.
And so step one, but then what about what's holding you back from setting goals on the other stuff?
There's a lot of ideas as to where we could go and what we could do. And I just am not committing to it, I think.
What differentiates a goal and an idea?
Numbers, didn't we?
I don't know. That was also a genuine, again, sounded like a loaded question. But I'm like, I don't know. I just think like reflecting on being a financial advisor, I feel like 80% of the goals that people would come into wouldn't come into fruition, not because they didn't achieve them, but because they almost had like more things on the table. And then as time went on, their focus narrowed down, but they were able to narrow down their focus because they were doing the steps that were moving them towards, I guess, being able to have that financial choice as opposed to which you were doing, right? Like you're doing the steps to move you forward, which is saving the money with some frequency and having a pot of money there.
Yeah.
But you just haven't allowed yourself to put like all the ideas on the table as valid goals.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because once a goal, like you don't have to commit to a goal. You're not marrying a goal.
No, I know. Unless,
you can bin a goal. Goals can get in the bin. It's fine. I mean, no one's going to judge you for that.
But I think this is an important point is that you, like, depending on your personality, you can get very fixated on, I need to do this by this point and, like, by this age and to this amount.
Look, and I talk about this all the time with people that are, like, process driven. So you're motivated and you enjoy the act of doing the thing, yep. i.e. let's say with topic of conversation, running races in the marketing team. So everyone's getting back into running, guys, yeah. just letting you all know.
Us included.
Yeah, us included. But, you know, it's that thing of like there are those people out there that just purely enjoy training for training's sake, and it's the activity of training and going through that process and building up their fitness and, like, you know, doing it socially or doing it with other people or whatever it might be that they enjoy the most out of, and then they, like, maybe do, you know, a race, but that's not what fills them up. And then there's those people that, like, they just live and breathe for the event,
yeah,
which is the outcome.
If you're listening, Tim, this is you.
But the challenge with that is, like, that's – you're tying your – potential success or happiness or enjoyment of that whole exercise on one thing and one day and one moment, right? Mm-hmm. And Luke is 100% like this. So today, whilst I'm slaving away at work recording this podcast, he's been playing golf. And he called me before and I was like, hi, how was your game? He's in this tournament with his dad. And he's like, it was a disaster. We got absolutely pumped and like, rah, rah, rah. And I was like, okay, I know you'll be disappointed. He's like, I am. And I'm like, well, have you enjoyed being in a tournament, spending more time playing golf with your dad and like reconnecting over that and doing all those things? And he's like, no, like he has, but you know what I mean? He's like grumpy because he lives and dies by the result of today.
Yeah.
And I just look at that and I'm like, I'm also a competitive person, but that just feels like a lot. It's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing of what you said of people get wrapped up in goals,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so if you're then that way inclined, you're probably less like you yeah. likely to put a goal on the yeah. table and declare it because you want to maximize your chances of that moment or that thing like fulfilling you or filling your cup.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're probably not going to put all your ideas on the table down as goals
yeah.
because then you have to acknowledge that like a decent majority of them are not going to come to fruition.
Pretty much, yeah. That then this is a perfect segue into like this idea of intention setting because yes. it's the underlying why. And so if you were to think about, so the reason this came about is because I was in the realm of fitness reading about an article that Laura Henshaw, the CEO and founder of Keep It Cleaner, wrote. And she talked about basically the impact of like resolutions, New Year's resolutions and the capacity of the fitness kind of realm.
Yeah.
And she talked about like this intention setting that she's choosing instead and like focusing on her why being to feel good and rather than like it's look this way or, you know, run this race or whatever.
Yeah.
You can completely, I think, apply that to money where it's like I want to feel like I'm financially free. But
yes,
you know, or like feel like I have
that
enough
disposable income. That is also a moving target. So then I guess that has pros and cons with it too, right?
Yeah.
Because your definition of like feeling good, looking good or being financially free will vary over time.
Yeah.
But then that would also mean that you probably have potentially more chances of success as feeling like you've achieved that or –
yeah.
making progress towards that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit vague, but it could
be. I'm all for the vague.
The underlying.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm pretty sure we did a New Year's resolutions episode like
ages
not,
ago.
Yeah. I'm going to say in the early days. And I feel like we talked about the fact that I used to have like, super specific resolutions, like a whole list probably. I reckon I could even dig them up in like a genuine actual notebook and find them.
Yeah.
And then I honestly think it was after COVID and when Luke lost his job and just going through that whole year of like reigning in the fact that things can happen to you that are entirely outside of your control and you really don't have like that much influence or as much control over anything as you think you do and kind of reverted back to pretty much what you just said, which is like setting an idea for the year or like something that you want to like, I don't know, work towards or be focused on.
Yeah.
Which is how I landed on 2024 being the year of cat.
And for me, you guys are the glow up. Hence why we're running.
We're pretty much like my only parameter is like, is this an activity or a thing that helps me feel my best self? And if the answer is yes, I'm like, cool, let's do it. And if the answer is no, I'm like, eh.
Easy guidelines.
Yeah, pretty much.
So a question for you.
Yeah.
I mean, how does this relate to how I perceive the financial services industry to kind of be set up or like the approach to even financial advice being like, what's your goal? And then you work it out from there. Because it seems to be the starting point for everything.
Yes, it is definitely a starting point. Although, funnily enough, you say that because this morning on LinkedIn, I was reading some commentary around like Bitcoin and the new Bitcoin ETFs. And someone basically commented being like, investors just want to invest in things that appreciate. And I'm like, that's kind of a general sentiment. And I was like, I don't know if that's actually what most people on the street are aiming for. Maybe they are. Just the whole like, I'm going to invest if it makes me more money because I just want this thing to grow or I just want to make more money. And that is kind of like a simple way to look at it. Whereas I think from a lot of the people that we talk to and having dealt so much with financial advisors and how they can then help their clients, it's really about that whole mindset of you need to be able to articulate what it is that you are working towards, at least in some kind of detail, so that we can figure out how close you are to achieving that. You know, are you on track? What does that even look like? Is that even realistic? All that kind of thing. Because otherwise, I guess it's quite hard for the financial services industry to provide you any value. Because I think the only thing would be, you know, like how, I mean, sure, if everyone was like, I just want to invest in stuff that appreciates, I'd be like, well, invest. I don't care where or what or how much, you know, like.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can fit under that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so then it's like, okay, not everyone needs to go into the nitty gritty detail of like, level of depth in terms of specifics.
Which funds are, exactly. Like, where's the property?
What structure and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I think that it's obviously a spectrum, and I think you should perhaps go a little bit further down the details than just saying, I want to invest in something that grows.
Yeah. Love it.
Because to your point about recent episode selling shares, how do you know when to like make changes or vary the course of action or do nothing or do something else?
Yeah. I feel like that's a really good summary of like the kind of the role that financial advice can also have in helping you achieve your goals. Is like in the level of, I mean, what usually drives it, drives getting financial advice is a change in circumstance or you come into some money or like you have
something happens.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Which then you're like, okay, well, where in my life am I going to allocate this money, I guess?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to just put you on the spot a little bit more. Okay, so besides the holiday, like what other financial intentions do you have for 2024?
I literally have none. I think it's probably to be consistent.
Yep.
In terms of, I mean, I'm consistent now with my savings, but like when I think about this Christmas period, I would have loved to have planned a little bit more and not be so like I have to use all my savings over this time. So. That so maybe it's more around like the money management side because like the investing side I also probably consistently investing a certain amount, but I don't, I'm not too fussed about what that is invested in in terms of like I'll just chuck it in the Kernel High Growth Fund or something like that, or Cash Plus if I'm gonna use it in the short term. So it's probably more about the habits.
Habits is good.
Yeah.
Habits is good.
I mean, I'm not like, I'm still not really that keen on property because it just feels like a big hill to climb.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Quite but happy doing.
Doing other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Focus that's on nice. Like experiences, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's
How about you?
That's a really, really good question. I feel like I keep thinking, I keep trying to guilt trip myself into like getting back into having a budget. I'm very resistant to it. So I probably just need to think on that for a bit.
Why are you resistant?
Well, because we're in a phase now which is arguably a luxury to be in, where we have dual incomes that are relatively stable and for, you know, the, to our, each of our jobs, like relatively high, right? And we're kind of on top of our expenses in the sense like we know what Lily's daycare and stuff costs and, you know, our mortgage is our mortgage and, you know, there's no kind of expected large changes to that stuff.
Yeah.
And so whilst we are still able to save a little bit of money and invest a little bit of money, not heaps, we're just kind of like ticking along with that. And part of me is like, I just feel like we could spend a bit less. Like I've just not had to do the whole going through my budget with a fine tooth comb and being like, should we change our insurances? Yeah. Should I actually be a bit more planned around how much money we spend at the supermarket?
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. And I know that that's a really privileged position to come from and I'm grateful for that. But it also weighs on my mind because I'm like, oh, maybe this is the time where like, you know, if you could get an extra $100 a week out from not being as casual
YOLO
about like what would is probably lifestyle great really then that would be quite helpful. But then on the flip side I'm also like, well, this is a stressful and like busy time of our lives. We have an 18-month-old. We have like two working individuals. I work, you know, long hours. Luke often is away on weekends and stuff for work. Like, do I really want to put myself under this pressure when it's like we're not in a dire position? We could just be, you know, comfortable keep for a bit and maybe enjoy it for a little bit. So, yeah, that's sort of my
I feel like that's a good battle. Yeah, good. Finding a balance between being ambitious and content or just like not, because you're not coasting in any way. No, you're just
And we're still saving money for our holidays. Like the main, to be honest, the primary goal that we have for this year is just to go on like two holidays, which will cost a little bit of money because they are overseas. But we have some savings that we could use for that. And then I'm also like, we will actively save towards that for the next, you know, six, seven months.
Yep.
So that's fine. I don't feel too stressed by that. The one thing that we have thought on, which I think Luke and I are pretty like low key about, is just we've obviously done heaps of renovations and stuff in our house in the past, and there's a few things that we would still like to do or could do, but it's not urgent. And we're just in that mindset of like, you know, that stuff's all quite expensive still. Anything that's property related is quite expensive. You know, is it worth it? Are we going to get the return back? Do we maybe, you know, we're probably just being a bit more like critical of how much we spend.
Yeah.
As an example, there was a few, like we wanted to get some more of our windows like double glazed. And then we were like, well, we could spend that money on landscaping, which means that the front, our front garden is not currently entirely like fenced off. If people have, you know, dogs or babies, it's not entirely safe. And we were like, well, we would really value the security of that with Lily now being able to get like off the deck into the front garden if we had a secure gate and we knew she couldn't get out.
Yeah.
That would be like money better spent for us at our stage of life. So just those stuff sorts like of things now. Nice. Yeah. But nothing like hitting the, you know.
Breaking the bank.
No.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to ask Ollie, and he'll be proud of me for saying this, you often add a lot more value by doing the landscaping than you do like things like kitchens and bathrooms.
Oh, fantastic.
There's actually a lot of data behind this too. So
okay.
If I'm just validating
Well,
your
I
decision.
Feel like we are quite into this. We're very on board. Luke's like quite keen now. Originally he was like, oh, I don't know, but no, we're really into that. Because also I'm like, it's the stuff that like if you can immediately enjoy it, you know, like the minute it's done, we'll be like, oh, this is the best. We can use it.
Go outside, hang out all the time. Exactly, run around.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that would be nice. And then I don't know. I am. I think I probably did this update a couple of months ago at the start of this new season, but we just have some money sitting in cash, the cash fund that we're just like sitting on that I got from my Oma's inheritance. And it's still, I think, to be honest, that's probably also what's making me like not feel
too stressed.
No. Yep. And also because I'm like, I don't want to rush into doing anything with that money. So if we could just maybe just sit with the status quo for a bit.
Yeah, nice.
That would be good.
Nice. And that's okay as a goal as well, right?
Yeah. And I think, like, that does make me think, you know, maybe just saying that, like, I don't have any goals to do anything different or I don't have any goals to do anything outrageous is also a valid thing to say to someone, whether it be, like, your partner or someone else, because I do or we need to be kept accountable to, like, not just spend that money, right?
And also it's consistency that builds over time, right? So, like, sometimes taking little to no action or just the same action over and over can actually get you to those big changes. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's the for the listener on the pod, how do we feel about goals? Let's summarize.
Okay, good summaries. So I think we should mention all the things that make them easier if you do want to have obviously a very distinct goal. And it's exactly what you said at the start about like it needs to be definable or more definable beyond just like general investing. Because the challenge is if it's not definable, you're not going to have any there's no impetus for you to say no to spending money now, right? Like you're just going to want to spend money on nice things right now. So it needs to be definable. It needs to be achievable. That's where chatting to someone else, using calculators, talking to an advisor, like, I don't know, finding out from a friend, like how much money are you saving for that thing? Because maybe you've set yourself like too high a benchmark or too low a benchmark and you need a reality check, right? So go and talk to a friend about it.
Have a money conversation.
Yeah, talk to a family member about it.
Yeah.
And then automating it as much as possible, because I'm assuming that's what you've already done, Christine, when you talked about you've got your set amount every fortnight going aside. Is that going just into your Kernel account?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Easy.
Exactly. Same with keepers ever, like increasing the percentage of that's, if you know yourself and you know that your habits aren't great, find a way to make it so you don't see them.
Exactly.
See the money, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Love it. And there's also, obviously, if you want like neck level accountability.
Okay.
What go see a financial advisor.
Yes. True. Because then you're basically paying them to harass you to do the thing that you said you were going to do, which is also essentially what like personal training is.
Yeah, exactly. And we also, just a complete tangent, often have conversations about like people not wanting to invest in financial advice, right?
Yes.
Because maybe they don't see the value or whatever. But think about how much money you could potentially save.
Yeah, tell me more.
Through the process of like, you know, maybe the financial advisor makes you sit down and go through your statements and things like that to identify how you cut costs or maybe you can increase your income here or whatever.
Exactly.
That could potentially pay itself back very easily and therefore get you closer to your goals.
I so agree with that. I was just doing calculations as you was talking that I spend $2,808 a year on a gym membership and knowing lots of financial advisors in Auckland. And you could probably get a solid financial plan for less than that that would set you up for more than just a year.
Yeah.
You know,
so true.
And it's that whole thing of like you're investing in your health. Well, that's not even all the money I spend on my health, right? Like that's a drop in the ocean of the amount of money I'd be spending on my health. And there's not much point in just looking after, you know, one small facet of your life because you need money and financial well-being to do those things too.
Yes. And yes, exactly. Love it. Should we round out there?
Yep. Great. Goals. Good luck, 2024. Crush it. And if you don't, it's fine.
Set some intentions. You're good.
Yes. Be vague, but also be specific.
So, we'll leave you to decide what to do with that.
See you
Thanks
next
for
week.
Tuning in. Bye.